This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks for joining us. I'm Audrey Nowakowski.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. Doctors define the perinatal period as running from before conception through a woman's pregnancy all the way to a year postpartum. It's a time when women go through many changes physically and mentally. But for women who struggle with mental health or substance abuse issues, these changes can not only affect the mother, but the child as well.
There are lots of doctors that specialize in the physical health of mothers. But there is a drastic shortage of specialists in the perinatal psychiatric care providers. To address this need, the Medical College of Wisconsin and UW-Milwaukee have joined forces with the help of a grant from the United Health Foundation to launch a new primary and psychiatric health care program, the Periscope Project.
The project uses a variety of tools, resources, and technologies to better serve mothers struggling with mental health and substance abuse disorders. Since its launch last summer, the project has released a follow-up report that examines how the first 9 months have gone.
During Maternal Mental Health Awareness Week, we're joined by Dr. Christina Wickman, who is the medical director of the Periscope Project, and Dr. Jennifer Deering, an associate professor in the College of Nursing at UW-Milwaukee. Dr. Wickman starts by sharing what they have heard from providers.
So we've had phenomenal feedback, and so we launched, like you said, back in July of 2017, so about 9 months of operation under our belts. For the providers who have utilized us and have completed our kind of follow-up survey, and I'm really proud of the fact, I know Jennifer is too, that we have a 70% completion rate of our satisfaction survey, which is pretty unheard of. 100% of them are satisfied with the teleconsultation that they received, and 100% of them said that they would not only utilize that information for that individual patient that they called for, but also be able to disseminate that information to other patients within their practice.
So what areas of care do you find that doctors are asking the most questions about when they do call you?
By far and away, it's about medication use, either in pregnancy or with breastfeeding. So about 80% of our calls have a psychopharmacology or medication component to them. The second most common is utilizing that community resource database. So about 25 to 30% of the time, we're also providing a community resource to that provider who's calling in.
I know last time we talked, we spoke of the difference in the kind of shift to getting doctors to allow mothers to stay on medications, that it doesn't necessarily pose as big a risk as was once previously thought. So do you find that doctors are also shifting their perspective on this?
We are, and certainly the providers that are utilizing our service, they may already be more inclined to be treating women who have mental health or substance use disorders just by virtue of utilizing our service, but they certainly feel much more confident and comfortable in prescribing, recognizing that they've got the backup of a subspecialist behind them.
With providers and reaching out to communities, a large percentage of the groups that have used your resource is freighted for almost 50%. And then we have some community things as well, like the 16th Street Clinics outreach. And then we have some bigger ones, Ascension and Aurora, but they're still hovering around that 10% area. So what would you like to see to change for those massive providers like Aurora and Ascension to be able to adapt this program as well?
So those numbers are even shifting month by month. We're seeing that Aurora and Ascension and our federally qualified health centers are becoming a bigger piece of the pie, for lack of a better term, and as our numbers grow. I certainly think that Frederick and the Medical College have the biggest percentage right now because they know me, and I'm vetted with them. And so it was easy to reach out to the providers who knew about me and knew about our project internally to begin with and then to expand from there. So we're already seeing some shifting of those percentages. And ideally, I'd like to see those percentages grow. I know that some of our leadership in Aurora is having a bit of a competition among the clinics themselves to see who can really utilize this service and why aren't we utilizing it more. So that's exciting to see.
Jennifer, last time you were here, you spoke that you wanted to create this program to be as streamlined as possible when it comes to teleconsultation, the community resources, the database that you build from there, and provider education. So what kind of results did we see from this report about that?
I would argue that our enrollment process is perhaps one of the easiest models out there, and that is catalyzing our success. If a provider can call in and get the help that they need on the spot, and either enroll there or pre-enroll through one of Dr. Wickman's educational sessions, that this is one of the reasons we have 330 providers enrolled to date.
And the response time, amongst other things, are far surpassing your original goals. So the original goal was 30 minutes average of response time. And what do you find that the turnaround rate is?
Yeah, so right now the turnaround time on average is about 9 minutes. So by the time a provider calls in and is triaged by our triage coordinator, I'm calling back typically in about 9 minutes or so. Now, we still have the 30-minute window just to give us a little bit of breathing room. But that certainly is what we're hearing from our providers is that they now expect it's a really quick turnaround time, and they know that their patient can stay in the office and then receive point-of-care service. So when the patient walks out of their office, they have a plan in place.
One thing I found interesting in the study is the doctor's potential other avenues of action had they not been able to access this. So why don't you speak on that a little bit and how detrimental that could be if this program doesn't stay or, you know, even grow so that this is their first cause of action.
Sure. So one of the key questions that Dr. Wickman asks at the end of every encounter is, if you had not reached us today, what would you have done? And the data from that are rather revealing. The majority of them, 42% of those who answered, would have made a medication-related adjustment. And that may have been increasing a dose, decreasing a dose of a medication, changing it when it shouldn't have been changed. There are a small percentage that Dr. Quickman confirms that there wouldn't have been a change. And so that gives that provider that confidence to know that they were following the right path. However, another sizable portion of providers would have referred the patient to another provider. So that would have been a mental health professional who could do a diagnostic evaluation. And what we know is that women who receive these referrals don't always, and in fact, most often, don't access those referrals. So in essence, by a provider making a referral that never gets accessed, you are delaying care and you are reducing missed care opportunities by that patient walking out with that plan at the time when they saw their provider.
And we're not necessarily saying to our providers to not refer to a different provider. We're not saying don't refer to mental health, don't send them to a therapist or a psychiatrist, by no means. But we also recognize that there's such a delay in mental health care that that there isn't great access here in the Milwaukee area or certainly across the state. But so we know that there is going to be a delay of care even if that patient makes it to that appointment. Mm-hmm. So the Periscope Project can oftentimes be a bridge to that next appointment. So a provider, an OB or a primary care doctor can implement a plan, get them started with a medication, maybe get a therapy referral, and still put in a psychiatry referral. But then by the time that psychiatry referral happens in 2 or 3 months, at least that patient's already been put on the right path rather than having no care at all in those intervening months.
I know you've gotten a lot of feedback from the doctors who are helping out these mothers. Is there any way you're getting feedback from the mothers, either through what the doctors are saying or through direct responses?
So we're not targeting the patients themselves. It really is a provider-to-provider service. The providers that kind of indirectly tell us is that the patients are so grateful that these things are being addressed and that they have a plan in place by the time they leave their office. And so we're hearing that directly from the providers, but not directly from the patients themselves.
Is there also an increase in the physician's comfort in helping to manage these type of problems and being able to prompt the conversation, especially if mothers aren't comfortable in admitting I'm having problems with my mental health or things like that? Are they being more proactive about addressing these things?
I think so. And certainly that's what our data would like. We would like our data to be able to show over time. Because they now have some tools and some backup support, they may be more comfortable in doing some screening and initial screening questions, because they know now that if they have a positive screen or if their mother is struggling, they know what to do, even if it's just picking up the phone and talking through that clinical case scenario with the psychiatrist through the Periscope Project. But at least they've got a backup plan in place. Whereas before, if they had no support, a lot of providers are hesitant to even do a screening tool because if it's positive, well, I don't know what to do next and I don't know where to send them and I don't know what my next steps are.
I would say that one area where we see this demonstrated is with pediatricians. So if you have a pediatrician who has a mom who is questioning, should I be breastfeeding or not, that is a group of providers where we have a real opportunity to increase their confidence to be able to counsel mothers in an informed manner.
So Jennifer, you've been involved in building the program, seeing the results. Where are you seeing the needle move, and where do critical gaps still remain? And what new things do you think you're going to try and implement as you're getting these numbers? Are there adjustments that you're thinking of already?
We're actually making adjustments continually all the time. You know, we want as many providers to utilize the service to make it as easy as possible. As far as critical gaps go, we're looking to sustain the service long term. And so if we are meeting a need and we can demonstrate our effectiveness long term, then securing the funding and the mechanism for reimbursing the service long term is important to us.
Yeah, that's a big question is, you know, can this be sustained? And I know it was part of Frater to UW-Milwaukee and a grant. Mm-hmm. So what are your goals? What are your moves to in order to make doctors, healthcare groups, in order for them to realize that this is important and to make it a general standard practice?
So that's the next big question is how do we continue to show that this is an important service? And so I think a lot of what we're doing from our service-related data, i.e. the providers who are utilizing it, just our number of usage and the potential patients that we're impacting, and not just single patients, because we're impacting a provider, one's going to assume that that provider is reaching many patients' lives. So they only may need to call once or twice or three times, and then they can kind of disseminate that information to the rest of their providers. So trying to kind of demonstrate that piece, as well as with some of the economic Medicaid claims data that we're utilizing, hopefully can show an impact as well. At this point, we only have funding through the end of 2019. And so one of our big goals in the next 18 months or so is to figure out ways to continue to sustain this program. And whether that's through the state of Wisconsin with similar other teleconsultation programs, is it through the healthcare insurance companies, does this become a billable or reimbursable service? These are all things that are kind of trying to wrap our heads around right now, because what we're hearing certainly from our users, please don't let this go away. We want to continue to have access to this program.
Right. And Jennifer, you mentioned the first time around that a health economist is also involved with this. Mm-hmm. So what kind of promising results have they been able to gather that will show that support that this is something that reduces costs across the board?
Sure. So I have the Department of Economics involved at UW-Milwaukee, and we have establish the baseline and that the data in the Medicaid claims are robust enough to be able to detect differences eventually. But this is a long-term sort of exploration that we are doing. And so the next time we'll be securing data after 1 year of the Periscope being operational. And that's coming up soon. But what we hope to demonstrate is that cost shifting that I had mentioned. If we can demonstrate that we are shifting costs from more expensive care to less expensive care, then that will be a demonstration of the kind of success that we need to show.
At the heart of this is the mothers that are seeking care. As this grows in popularity, as more healthcare providers have this service and the doctors are having these conversations with patients, do you hope that mothers will be more willing to share their struggles if doctors are more aware of this and have the office as a safe place, which oftentimes it's not for some patients?
Absolutely. That's certainly our hope, that if we can do enough education to our providers or our first-line providers, that a patient's going to feel more comfortable and have that established rapport with their provider in order to be open about the struggles that they're having. That is one thing that did shift with our initial thought about this program. We really were going to target prescribers and true healthcare professionals. But what we realized very quickly in the first few months of operation is that our true frontline providers, things like social workers, lactation consultants, nurses, home visitors, that they had such an impact on our perinatal moms as well. Why shouldn't we open up this service to them too? And so we really opened up our enrollment piece and then changed it a bit so that any healthcare provider or healthcare professional can access our service, but then we really tailor the scope of the consultation to the provider who's calling. So I'm not going to talk about medication management, say to a home visitor, but I'm going to help her interpret the results of that screening tool that she did and help her ask some of the next steps or the next questions to see if that patient's in imminent risk, or give her some community resources to get her connected to a therapist or a psychiatrist if that's what she needs.
More than half our providers are practicing in OBGYN settings, and that includes MDs or DOs, so your physician group, your midwife group, your nurse practitioners, and physician assistants. But at the same time, we have an important segment of psychiatrists calling in. So even though these are providers who are, you know, psychiatrists, board certified, they may not feel comfortable to take care of some of the more complex situations where there is that subspecialty care is needed. So it's a real opportunity for a wide variety of providers of a variety of educational experience and levels to interface with us.
Well, Christina Wickman and Jennifer Deering, thank you so much for coming in to talk about it, and good luck with the next steps.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Christina Wickman is medical director of the Periscope Project. Jennifer Deering is an associate professor in the College of Nursing at UW-Milwaukee. You can find a link to the report on the Periscope Project's first 9 months and more at wuwm.com.